While they're getting their candy, if you turn into your bulletin to the scripture listed there, I believe it's in Luke chapter 1, I think. 5 to 20 something. 3?
23.
5 to 20. Okay. Before I read this, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word that you give us. Your word that reminds us of your presence and love and the lengths at which you're willing to go for your love for us, all the way to Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you open up our hearts and minds as we read this word today and ask that we're touched in the ways that you want us to, that our lives may be changed by hearing your truth. We pray that today's word spoken through the sermon is your truth, and that we go where you lead us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 23, and then I'll skip from to 57 and 66. 5 to 23. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." We're going to move now to 57, verse 57 to 66. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all the neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become?" For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God indeed. Now, this story isn't represented in our nativity scene. Zechariah and Elizabeth are, they're kind of pushed aside. We hear about John the Baptist a lot, but not in terms of the Christmas story. We hear about John the Baptist later, preparing the way of the Lord. But what we're doing this year during Advent is looking at how the birth of Jesus had rocked or influenced the lives of all those who were involved. How the birth of Jesus influenced the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth is by, in order for Jesus to be born, God wanted John to be born to prepare the way for Christ. And someone had to, someone had to bear John. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth come in. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth are older. They are up there in age, and Elizabeth never had a child. And a woman's duty to her husband in that day and age was to have children. Never happened, but they came to be okay with that in their life. You know, this is the hand that God had dealt them, and so they were going to live with it, and they've kind of had their peace with it, and life was, what was life? You know, it's amazing how we get used to life the way it is. However it is, we get used to the situations we find ourselves in. And so they did. Zechariah was a priest, and it was his turn to give the incense to the Lord. So he did that. Now, this is a scary time in the life of a priest. It was told me a long time ago that when a priest entered the inner chamber of the Lord, the holiest of holies, what they would do is that on the bottom hem of their cloak, they would have bells. You hear this? And they would have a rope tied to the ankle of the priest. And the priest would go into the holies of holies, and as the priest was doing his thing, he would shuffle. And the shuffling would make the bells tingle. You know, so he would shuffle, and they would hear the bells. And as soon as the bells stopped, what that meant was he messed up. And the Lord struck him dead. And so they would tug on the rope to get the priest's body out of the holies of holies, because it was a very serious thing that they had to take very seriously. So Zechariah's in there, he's shuffling, and all of a sudden the vision of the Lord happens, and they have this conversation. The conversation basically boils down to, Zechariah, you're going to have a child, and your life is going to change. Zechariah's response is basically, I can't believe it. I like my life how it is. And the angel said, really? Well, tough. And because you didn't believe me, you're not going to be able to talk. And so he's in there a long time. The people outside who are praying are getting nervous, but they still hear the bells tinkling, so they know he's still alive. And then he finally comes out, and he's not able to speak. And so they know something happened in there. Elizabeth becomes pregnant, has a child. Now, I love this. I had the distinct blessing of going through, I'm not wording this right, and the ends will be mad at me, women who have had babies before. I've had the distinct blessing of going through two pregnancies. I realized I didn't actually go through the pregnancies. But to experience in that long way apart from it, and not being able to speak, I can't imagine what that would be like. To be silent in that way. Zechariah was the whole time. Have you ever tried not speaking for any length of time? All right. Some of you are looking at the person sitting next to you and saying, no, they haven't. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. In fact, it can at times get a little scary, because you find yourself alone with your thoughts. And sometimes your thoughts aren't always your best friend. Zechariah had a lot of time to think. We don't know how long he was made not able to speak. We know it was at least 9 months, but it could have been closer to a year or more. But he wasn't able to speak, and so he had a lot of time to think about his time with the angel and what the angel had said, and he sees before his eyes that what the angel said has come true. And then when Elizabeth gave birth, you would think that then he would be able to speak, but he's still not able to speak. 8 days later, the child's going to be circumcised. That's when you name the child. Elizabeth said the child's name is to be John. The relatives say no. And then they pose Zechariah with the question, what is the child's name? This is the definitive moment in the life of Zechariah. He has a choice in his life to make. To whom is he going to give credit? To God or to himself? Do I name the child John and thus say that this is by God's hand that this is happening? Or do I name the child Zechariah and say all of this good stuff is happening by my hand? This Christmas season and in our entire lives, we have this question posed to us time and time and time again. On whom are we going to give credit for our day? On whom are we going to trust and rely upon when we come against troubles? Is it by our own energies and by our own hand that we're going to deliver ourselves? Is it by our own hand and our own power that we're going to give ourselves the credit? Or are we going to be able to open up our eyes and see all that God has done for us? Are we going to trust in God when things get tough? And praise God when we're able to get through. Zechariah had this very dilemma posed to him. And at once, to him, it was no question. To him, there was no choice. He wrote down on the tablet, his name is John. And it was that very moment that he gave God the credit and God the glory that he was able to speak. And what we see is that out of his actions, by giving God the credit for the name of the child, through his words, he gave God the credit by glorifying and praising his name. It's a challenge this Christmas season as we decorate and as we cook and as we buy gifts and we get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, just so that in all of this, we realize why we're doing it and whom we're doing it for. It's because of what God has given us through Jesus, through the gift of his presence, that we do all that we do. And so I pray throughout this time and for the rest of our lives, we give God the glory. We give Christ the honor and praise as we celebrate his birth. One of the ways that we give Christ the honor and praise and the glory is by celebrating communion. Communion is such a wonderful time because it reminds us that God gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave us his life. Through the life of Christ, we experience salvation and forgiveness of sins. And so, communion is able to demonstrate that gift so beautifully. On the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, he called all of his disciples together. And he told them, one of you will betray me. And they said to Jesus, Lord, is it I? In that question, they recognized that each of them was capable and had something in them, some kind of darkness that was able to turn their backs on Jesus. Jesus, knowing that they would all scatter, took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, this is my blood shed for you and for the sins of many. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me. The beauty of Christmas and communion is one of the same. That Jesus loved us even before we knew who Jesus was. This is what we celebrate. And this is what we devote ourselves to. For as we take communion, and as we take the body and blood of Christ, we also say in kind, Lord, take my body and my blood and use it as you see fit, that others may know of your love. Can the ushers, please?